apologize for being late today. So we are going to start the South Jordan Planning Commission meeting for Tuesday, May 9th, 2023. We have five of our six council members here this evening. Commissioner Gedge gave us a warning that he has, not Gedge, I'm sorry, Commissioner Starks has given us some notice that he's got a lot of work travel planned. So I expect that that's what has him this evening detained. But we do have a quorum, and so we will proceed with our business this evening. I'd like to welcome members of staff who have joined us this evening and will present on the various issues that we will have this evening. And I'd like to thank those in our auditorium and online that have joined us as well. We always appreciate when the applicants join us so that they can answer questions, as well as when citizens come to comment on the items that we are hearing. So our first item of business is to approve our agenda as published online, as well as in the back of the auditorium. Do I have a motion?
I'll move that we approve the agenda as published.
Thank you. Commissioner Bevins, I'll second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Yes.
Any opposed? Great. Our next item is to approve our minutes from our meeting 2 weeks ago. I assume everybody's had an opportunity to review those. Thank you, Ms. Baum. Did I get that right? It's you that does our minutes. Thank you for putting those together. Any discussion? Then I'm ready for motion.
Madam Chair, I move that we approve the minutes of the April 25th, 2023 Planning Commission meeting as published.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner Darby. I will second that. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Okay. Staff, do you have any business for us this evening?
No, we don't, I don't believe.
Okay. Commissioners, I was assigned to listen to the city council meeting last week. I have had several things come up, so I'm still working through that. I will submit a report to you via email so that you have that information. The majority of their work session, however, was spent discussing the possibility of joining a resolution to combine forces with Sandy and Draper to form a South Valley group and hire an agency to potentially use additional hotel funds and promote tourism in this area. It's very interesting. I'll provide some additional details. They will vote on that in the future. And I believe that Commissioner Gedge said that he would be able to attend next week. Do we have any other items of business tonight, commissioners? Okay.
Just the only thing I have, June first meeting in June, I won't be here that, just to make sure so we have a quorum. So
that is June.
I believe it's 13th or 14th.
Okay.
There's a beetle in town, so beetles are more important than
what?
The city.
Do you say so? All right.
I think on the schedule, Steve is actually scheduled for
next week.
Oh, next week. Then I'll pass.
Okay.
Sorry, it took that long to load.
I thought I had it on Memorial Day. So.
This is May 16th, but it doesn't really matter.
If you can't make it, I can
that's
take
just
that
what's
one
on here. And then there's no one on June 6th or June 20th.
Okay, I'll take June 6th.
Okay. So Commissioner Catmull next time, and then in 3 weeks, Commissioner Gedge to make up for skipping out on us for the Beatles.
And see, that way you won't get a report from me the next week either.
You can submit it by
I'll
email.
Submit
it via email. All right. Sounds like a plan. All right. Well, then let's get to it. Our first item of business this evening under administrative public hearings is the former Legacy Center site plan and conditional use permit. And Namir has our staff report.
Thank you. Yeah, so basically the first two items on the agenda, those two applications, they're one and the same project. The project is located at 10960 South Park Road. It's at the city park. You can see in this aerial photo the approximate location. Northern half of the property is unimproved, and it's currently being used as a storage yard. Well, the south part of the property is a parking lot that's going to be improved as part of this project. The property is zoned, as you can see on the map, OSP, open space park area. And then this is the proposed site plan. As you can see, most of the improvements are going to take part at the north end. The building is going to be central located, and then the new parking lot is going to be at the north end. And with the turf area, or it's going to be, actually it's going to be a recreational kind of training area that's going to be to the west of the building. As I said before, the parking lot to the south is in bad shape, and it's going to be restrapped to accommodate the project. As far as landscaping goes, the recreational area is going to be finished in turf to just provide surface for recreational activities, while the rest of the project is going to be finished in rock. There's going to be trees around the site, scattered around the site. And then as far as the building elevations go, or the building itself, the architecture, the building's going to be, it's going to reach 30 feet in height, 31 feet in height. The exterior is going to be finished with CMU and prefabricated metal panels with some glass on the building. As I mentioned before, it's a conditional use permit. It's just for the use that's being proposed in the building. It's mostly going to be a boxing gym, and in the OSP a zone that's considered a conditional use. The staff recommends approval of the project, and with that, I'll just turn it over to you, commissioners, if you have any questions for me.
Has the parking agreement been worked out?
I haven't seen it yet, so it's an agreement between the city, the county, and the Fulmer Legacy Foundation, but I know they're working on it, but I don't think it's been done yet. I haven't seen it.
This is for the parking lot.
Yeah.
It's been signed by the city, and it's going to the county council next week.
So it's in process?
In process, yeah.
I hate to muddy the waters. Is there a specific landscaping requirement as far as percentage of ground covered by live foliage or living plant matter that applies to a zone like this?
Not to a zone like this, but it's in general. So any areas that are not used for recreational or training activities can only have up to 20% to be covered in turf. This being a recreational area obviously exceeds 20%, but that's exempt by the code. If it's used for those training activities or some type of recreational activities, they can exceed 20%.
I think you answered the question opposite of what I intended. Is there, I'm thinking about an applicant for a residence where we discover that 50% of a landscape is expected to
it
be landscaped and then have living.
It is the same with commercial. It is still 50%. It needs to be covered in some type of live vegetation.
Okay, so is there an exception being requested for the turf, or is it a special circumstance because it's a specific use? Is the turf artificial? Maybe that answers my question. I assumed when you used the word turf it was artificial.
It's not. It's live.
It's live. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
You've answered my question.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Other questions, please?
Yeah, I want to just on the conditional use permit, since if we approve that, it will stay with the property through the life of the property. But, in here it says for boxing events and training activities, but is it more general to be all any recreation activity? And would that include any type of live entertainment in the future? I'm just thinking with the parking, agreement and everything, what type of activities would be allowed if the Fulmer Legacy Foundation were to divest itself of this property and goes to a subsequent owner?
So it's not specifically tied to a boxing gym. I think it's listed in the staff report. There's a section in the code that the boxing gym, we thought the staff falls into that category, and that's how we grouped it within those other activities. So if you want to limit those activities, I guess you could.
Okay.
Along those lines, I believe at one point we had a similar question to this, and I thought that the answer was like it gets reevaluated when a business permit is issued. And so if someone came in with a completely different use, even if it changed hands, then it would get reviewed for fit. Is that... Did I misremember or happen to know?
No, that's right. So if it's a different condition, so in every zone we're going to have maybe a few different conditional uses, and depending on where they fit, they may need to come back and ask for another review and approval from the Planning Commission. But it just depends on which use it fits in. So in this case, I can't remember off the top of my head. I can do some research. I'm not sure what it was listed in under. In
the general recreation.
General recreation, yeah.
So, for example, if it changed hands or they decided to change to something more entertainment, like
right.
kickboxing or something like that, that they sell tickets, tried to sell tickets or something like that, that would be something that would
they may have to come back. Yeah.
Use as it's proposed, we pass.
Yeah. I have a question, maybe to make an answer. Isn't there already going to be boxing? Isn't there an arena inside with seats and so forth? And they will be, and they could be charging for tickets for that. So that's already happening with this.
Okay.
And kickboxing or those kind of things, they may or may not. That's not up to me to determine whether. But in the code, it says it's not limited. But, you know, it's for recreational areas, including but not limited to playgrounds, athletic fields, golf courses, country clubs, tennis courts, pavilions, dog parks, urban fisheries, and swimming pools. And that's why Demir was saying if you wanted to make sure it stayed only for boxing, you might have to make that as a, not only a condition, but state that. Otherwise, any of those uses would be allowed in that site in the future.
Yeah, so. Thank you. And it's the ones that are... The example ones that are listed, I think, are very interesting, you know, very make a lot of sense to me. It's the not limited to, for example, leaves it quite open. And so that's a concern I have about leaning too much on that phrase as it's listed. But it's a small concern for me at this point.
Quick question based on Chair Hollis' question about the parking. I know that the parking lot to the south gets quite overwhelmed during baseball season. Was there any anticipation of like large events going on at the boxing center? Is that factored into the parking agreement at all, where we know this parking lot is already heavily utilized and now we're adding more? I guess I don't really
know. The agreement doesn't go in that much detail as far as coordinating. But the applicant and the city and the county, they've had those discussions to coordinate between events so those events are not happening at the same time.
Perfect.
Yeah. And then just for the Planning Commission's benefit, I was at the Architectural Review Committee meeting for this, and I believe they said that it could seat 500 in that arena when it's set up, so it can host a significant event. Okay. Any other questions for staff? Is the applicant present this evening? Is there anything that you'd like to add to the staff report, please?
Good evening, Commissioners. David Butterfield. I'm the chair and president of the Fulmer Legacy Foundation. Appreciate being here tonight. Appreciate the work that your staff has done already. I served on Logan City Planning Commission for many years, so I know the work that goes in by staff and yourselves. Appreciate all of that. Just wanted to make clear that it is anticipated that at the Fulmer Legacy Center, the core of what we'll be doing there is boxing, specifically youth boxing, but we anticipate that that will extend to other kinds of non-contact boxing for the elderly, for those who want the health and wellness benefits of boxing but don't want to get punched in the head. So we anticipate that to be a broad group of people. We've even talked about additional takeoff, if you will, youth programs that might. We've talked to the Dean of Agriculture at Utah State University about being in such close proximity and truly having a similar kind of target audience and desired outcome to piggyback together and collaborate on some youth programs that might involve the wellness benefits of boxing with some 4-H programs. And we might include the juvenile district court system involved in some of that. So it's envisioned that, yes, the core of what we're doing is boxing and competitive boxing, amateur boxing, but there's so much that can be done there. It was asked about live events, and you're right, Commissioner. It is will be built in such a way that we will we do anticipate having live events there where we have boxers, youth from the four, the Intermountain states that would come to South Jordan to compete in their regional tournaments, statewide tournaments, those kinds of things. So we do anticipate that. And recognize that the shared parking agreement, we would need to work together with the city to make sure that we're not, you know, we don't have a 500 attendee event while we've got three baseball games next door happening. And so all of that is part of things that will have to be worked out. Anyway, I'm happy to answer any questions if I can be helpful.
Any questions for Mr. Butterfield? He's up here. Okay, thank you. Thank you. So at this time, we will open up the floor to a public hearing. If you've joined us this evening to speak to this item, we'd invite you to come to the podium. We just ask that you please state your name and where you reside for our records, and then you'll have 3 minutes to address the commission and share any information on this item that you would like to. And we'll extend that same opportunity to anyone who's joined us online. Is there anyone in the auditorium that would like to speak this evening? Okay, I'm going to go to our online format. I see a hand up for Philip Hatterley. We just ask that you would please turn on your camera and unmute, and then same rules as in the auditorium. Please state your name and where you reside for our records.
My name is Phil Hatterley. I'm with VCBO Architecture. I'm working with the Fulmer Legacy Foundation and just here as the architect to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you for joining us, Mr. Hatterley. Any questions? Okay. All right. I don't see anyone else online that would want to participate in public comment, so I'm going to close public comment and bring it back to the commission. Commissioners, what discussion, what concerns or questions do we need to have answered?
I'll go first. Just reading, so obviously the language I think answers most of my concerns if we, on a conditional use permit, if we were to read it verbatim, because it does say for boxing events and training activities, and then also within the building. So not, my only concern would be, you know, noise for, you know, adjoining uses. There are, you know, neighborhoods not too nearby, but, you know, somewhat in the neighborhood. So that would just be my concern. But, you know, if we were, the staff recommended motion, if we were read that verbatim, I would imply that it addresses my concerns that I, with what can be allowed with the conditional use permit. Yeah, I just, you know, don't want a rock concert. But I believe county health and noise ordinances would also apply if that was to be an issue. So I'm fine with this. And I'm glad the Fulmers, you know, and the foundation to bring back, you know, a historical thing. I did a Qualtrics survey today from the city that was sent out. One of the things was, would you like more additional historical markers or museums? And I think this actually would fit one of those needs, especially for some of our most famous residents of the city. So I'm in support of this.
Even any additional comments, questions?
Maybe just a comment that came as the applicant was talking about the synergy with Utah State, and I couldn't help but drift to sting, I mean, float like a butterfly and sting like a bee. It just feels like it could fit very well.
All right. Over here, anything? Okay. Then I think I'm ready for a motion.
Madam Chair, I'd like to make a motion, please.
Please.
Based on our discussion this evening and the staff report, I move that the Planning Commission approve the application of First PL SPR 2023-00014 to allow for construction of a new commercial building, and second, PLCUP 2023-00015 to allow for boxing events and training activities within the building with the following conditions: that the access and parking agreements is executed and recorded prior to building occupancy by the city, county, and foundation. Sorry, I added to that because there's three parties involved.
Okay. All right, we have a motion. It's multi-part. Is there any discussion needed on that clarification? Okay. I will second that then and ask Ms. Valdez to lead us in a roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Gedge?
Aye.
Commissioner Hollis?
Yes.
Commissioner Catmull?
Aye.
Commissioner Darby?
Yes.
And Commissioner Bevins?
Aye.
Okay, this item passes 5-0. Mr. Butterfield, we thank you for joining us this evening. As well as Phil online, we always appreciate applicants being present so they can answer questions. All right, we will now move to our legislative public hearings. We just have one item under this one as well. It's the SJC townhomes at Redwood Road, Redwood Rezone, rezoned from A5 and R2.5 to RMPD zone. And Demir has our staff report again.
Thank you. So this is a zone change application. The property is located at 11147 South Redwood. As you can see, it is situated between Redwood Road to the west, Bexted to the east, and then we have some townhomes and single-family homes to the north. There's a residential treatment facility for 14 acres to the south of the property. The property has a land use of mixed use, and it's zoned A5 and R-2.5. So obviously, with this project, the zoning is going to have to be changed for the project to move forward. So here's the proposed site plan. As you can see, the applicant is proposing to do two commercial buildings on Redwood. And then the remaining portion of the property is going to be done with townhomes. Commercial buildings on Redwood are going to be finished thin brick veneer. They're going to reach 30 feet in height. For now, the plan with those two buildings is to be used as a warehouse and office space. The townhomes themselves are going to be, they're going to reach 39 feet in height. The exterior materials are going to include fiber cement siding, stucco, and some brick. Each townhome is going to have its own garage space, and then in front of the garage space, they're going to have driveways that are deep enough to accommodate two cars. Here's some drawings or elevations of the commercial buildings that I talked about. These are the townhomes. As you can see here, this is the view from the front. And then this is the view from the back. Here, this is just the view from the air of the commercial area within the project. And then this is a different perspective on the townhomes with the project. The project itself contains 21 townhomes. It's going to be around 8 units to the acre as far as density goes. It has gone to City Council 3 times for a work session. And at the last City Council meeting, they were instructed to move forward with the application. And with that, I'll turn it over to you, commissioners.
Is the 39-foot height on the townhomes in excess of what we normally allow? Isn't our height limit typically 35?
Residential is 35, yeah, mm-hmm. So this would be in excess. There's going to be an agreement with this project, and that's going to be made part of the agreement to allow for those heights to go that high. I think the townhomes to the north of the project are about the same height, around 40-something feet.
Yeah. And that's necessary because the first story is garage, or...?
I haven't seen the floor plans, but my understanding is that the main floor is going to be just mainly the garage itself. And then the first floor is going to have your kitchen and main living area and so forth. And then I guess second floor is where the bedrooms are, is my understanding.
You addressed all of my concerns in the parking, so thank you for including that in the report. Sorry, you addressed my concerns regarding parking. Who is the owner of the half-acre lot? Do you have any idea what the plans are for that portion that's left on that block?
No, I have no idea. I think initially when the project first came in, I'm trying to remember because I was not part of this project when it first came in, but I think that half-acre was included as part of this project, but I think things didn't work out, and now, but I just took over this project, to be honest. I don't know all the details. But, yeah, I know that the half-acre piece is not part of the project. And I'm not sure why.
The applicant is here, maybe they can answer that question. I think I heard something that the owner of that property intends to build a single family dwelling home on it, and they didn't want to be part of the project and sell it. That's where they wanted to build their home, as far as I know, but the applicant may have more idea of what, if that's changed or not.
Oh, hold on, my question. So there's not an agreement in place yet with the city. They've moved ahead with the rezone before any sort of an agreement's in place?
No. So we've done a draft agreement that's finished, and we'll send it out to the applicant to review it to make sure that they agree to the terms. But essentially, the agreement is outlined in the report. The main points are in the report.
Yeah. Sorry, the way you said one of your phrases earlier made me wonder if I'd misread.
Yeah. So when it goes to City Council, the agreement will be approved if the zone change is approved. Or maybe they can modify the agreement, but it will be up to the City Council to approve, change, or deny.
Okay. Questions?
Thank you, Madam Chair. So, you know, tonight we're considering a rezone, and just make sure that we are just a recommending body to the City Council. They'll make the final decision. And I just want to emphasize, I believe I heard that it's already gone to the City Council three times, and there's been basically a draft development agreement that the City Council has instructed staff to draft with the applicant. But then if City Council were to get a recommendation from us and they make that final decision, what would be the next steps that would come before the Planning Commission? Would we be seeing site plan, preliminary site plan, subdivision? I mean, what would we see next where we could actually have more concerns that I might have with traffic flow or parking with this development?
So my understanding is that the units are going to be for sale. So those units being for sale, there's going to be a subdivision plat. So it'll be a preliminary subdivision plat that comes back to you.
Great. Thank you. So, the reason I just wanted to bring that up is because with applicants with concerns, there might be a few things, we might hear later after this evening. So,
would we also get a site plan for the commercial?
It will be part of the subdivision application.
That would be part of it.
Depends on the timing. If it's not done at the same time, it'll just be submitted to you as a site plan application. So yeah, you're right. Yeah. Could be a site plan.
Demir, I have a quick question regarding the roads. It says that they'll be privately owned and maintained. Is that the most common approach for a project like this, or are they normally deeded over to the city?
For this size of project, I'd say it's pretty common because there's only 21 townhomes with two commercial buildings, which are not large, that large. So for this size, I would say it's pretty common.
Thank you.
Yeah. I have one question also. Looking at the elevations, I'm only showing one set of elevations. Am I assuming that they're mirror of each other and we don't have roll-up doors coming off the south end of that? On the commercial buildings, I'm sorry, just this. Because if they're facing each other, wouldn't it be opposite on the other building? Because where this is south elevation, wouldn't on the other commercial building, is that the north elevation? Or am I just confusing myself?
No.
Because it looks like on the site plan they're facing inward.
Yeah.
I think the south
elevation does show overhead doors. I'm guessing it is correct because the parking is to the south.
And then on the other building, that south should be the north elevation, right? Because there's two buildings. Okay, they're nodding.
Yeah,
I'm good.
You're right.
So in the next site plan, we should see a second iteation of elevations that show the correct elevations.
So imagining this is the north building. What we're looking at.
Yes. And then the south building, we don't have elevations for.
Yeah, would be the opposite.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's probably for the applicant.
Can you tell me what the density of the townhomes just north of this are? That are along Redwood?
That's a good question. I'm not sure. Do you know, Greg, by any chance?
I don't know those. They're not very many. They were part of a... The thing is that their density is tied to the single-family houses that are on Beckstead. They're all still part of the same project, and I don't know what... I don't remember what that density was. It's, let me it's see if probably I can do not it over 8 units per acre, because the city council hasn't approved really anything over 8 units per acre at all. So,
Is the applicant present this evening? Maybe a Mr. Adams. Would you like to add anything to the staff report at this time?
Not unless there's any questions.
I have a question for you.
We have a question for you. Long walk.
Brian Adams with Civil Science, 3160 West Clubhouse Drive, Lehigh, Utah, 84043.
Okay, sorry, just real quick. Are you anticipating putting like rooftop decks on these, like the project just to the north of it has? Some of the drawings look like it does and some don't.
Yes, I believe some of them do.
Okay.
What direction do they face?
The...
Any of the decks?
I don't know that answer.
Okay, that can be addressed in site plan. I just want us to be aware of that.
Well, just not for the warehouses?
No, on the town.
No, yeah.
I don't think we'll get a site plan for...
We'll get a... We should, shouldn't we?
Yeah, you should get it. Yeah.
Okay.
We should get a site plan.
When it comes back to you, yeah. Part of the preliminary subdivision will be a site plan, and then we'll show you improvements, any fencing, the layout, etc.
Just to follow up on that, is that because it's a floating a planned development versus like other residential homes? Once we do subdivision, that's the end of.
No, if you remember the project we had last time we were here, the Rise Residential Development, okay. It was also a subdivision, it was a preliminary subdivision, but they also had landscape drawing, site plan, and all that grading, drainage included as part of the subdivision application. So it will be the same thing with this one.
Okay.
You would get to see the improvements. It wouldn't be just the subdivision plat that they're showing.
Just trying to remember what triggers that in the code, but I'll go back and review. It would be good.
Thank Questions you. For the applicant while we have them up here?
That was all I had.
Okay. Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, at this time, we're going to open up the floor to public comment. If you've joined us this evening to speak to this item, we'd invite you to come to the podium at this time.
Hi, my name is Judy Ward. I live at 11154 South Heather Grove Lane, directly behind the project. And I have a few concerns. Thank you, Demir, for he addressed an email that I sent. He answered a lot of my questions because I know your time is very valuable. So,
oh, before you get started, can we just note for the record that we did receive that email. All of us was forwarded to us
Okay.
As part of the public record. Yeah, sorry. Sorry to interrupt you.
Oh, that's okay. So the transportation piece was my number one concern. And parking on the Beckstead, I'm really nervous that that's what will happen. My adult children rent and or own townhomes, and what's happening lately with those is they rent the individual rooms out, and each individual comes with a car. So one of her concerns when she lived in Riverton is she would have to be home at a certain time or she would be blocks away from her rented room in the townhome. So that's a real concern. And where are those people going to park? The problem was she could not park in the driveway because the people that rented the garage spaces wanted to be able to have free in-and-out access and didn't want to have to monkey around with finding her and asking her to move her car whenever. So anyway, that's the concern. And so as an idea with this, maybe we would not have an access onto Beckstead, which might be able to solve the parking issue along Beckstead Lane, or maybe a non-parking side at least, maybe on the east side with all the trees. I don't know, just some ideas. Also, where my location is, I am a little concerned about the storm drainage and want to make sure that that is taken care of because I am literally downhill from this development. So my father-in-law just had an issue in Taylorsville where his basement got flooded during a construction project that wasn't planned accordingly. So anyway, those are really my only huge concerns, so thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that's joined us this evening that would like to speak?
Uh,
I'm David Nickel. I live at 11171 South Village Grove Lane, pretty close to where she lives too. I'm really surprised. It says that this has been before the city council three times, and the citizens know nothing about it. I mean, it sounds like it's already a done deal. Aren't we usually receive this letter when you're in the planning time of it? Because it sounds like you're not really going to listen to anything we say anything if the city council already has approved it. But I have some concern, too, about Beckstead. I'm glad that that has been extended all the way through. But I think with this, then it'll just be a parking lot for the overflow of what they're going to build there. And she suggested, too, that maybe one side should be non-parking, just as it is at Wingate. Because Wingate has the same problems on the east-west next to them, just down here, where there's 30 or 40 cars parked out there every night. But on the other side, they do make it so you can't park on both sides. I'm a little concerned about things that are approved without proper parking. I don't know, does this facility have parking for visitors? Is that part of the plan? Is it in there? There's a, down by the car wash, there's a business there, and evidently they were given their spot, and they have no room for parking, so they park over in the church parking lot. So I think parking is really a problem with these things. So I hope that... should we get in touch with the city council or what? It looks like I say it's already been approved before we've had a chance to say anything about it. I think that's pretty much what I have is the parking, and also that Beckstead will. We even have people with RVs; they leave their RVs there for the whole winter. On that parking there. So there's not much of a room there for all of these things this time. So thank you so much.
Thank you. So any questions that come up during public comment, we will address after public comment. Is there anyone else in the auditorium this evening that would like to speak, please?
I am Rhonda Williams. I live at 11162 South Heather Grove Lane. As Judy, I am directly across Beckstead. Beckstead is 25 miles an hour. Do any of you want to guess how fast people go on that street? It's not 25. And we don't have the police presence that we should have there, even though it's just down the street from the police station. They've been clocked at 60, 65 miles an hour going down that street. So my concern is the speed and the parking as well. Is it possible to make, and I am concerned, as David is, that this was sounds like it was always in the works or already in the works before we were notified. So it's these apartments or townhomes are going to be in the middle of three residential areas. And putting those ugly things on top that they did on Redwood Road is just an eyesore. They are ugly. And everybody comments on where are those, who lives in those awful apartments. And It is just not structurally the same as the rest of the neighborhood. To me, honestly, I've thought about moving because of this. The through street from Redwood Road into Bexstead is going to be awful. We already have too much traffic on Bexstead because people cut through there to get to either Redwood or 114th or 106th. And so the traffic is horrible there. And something needs to happen so that there's not that easy access to that road. If you're going to do retail on one side and townhomes, or I don't understand why that it wasn't recommended residential homes instead of townhomes. I'm sure money has a lot to do with this, but I'm disappointed that anybody would say that's okay to put townhomes there. I can see them along Redwood Road. I cannot see them in the middle of a residential area. And if they are going to do retail and the homes, then there needs to be some kind of a division so that the people on Redwood Road cannot go through there to get to Bexstead, because that is really an issue. That the parking, like Judy mentioned, and David, is not, and it makes you want to move because of the atmosphere you're creating by allowing that to happen.
Okay, thank you very much. Is there anyone else in the auditorium who would like to speak this evening?
My name is Vijay. I just stay north of the thing, like the townhome, and I live in the 1623 West Bend Lane. My residential property is there, and there's a road that just comes right behind me. More than a concern, I want more information because this concept plan, and I just wanted to know exactly what's coming out there, and is that going to cause any kind of issues in future? And also, there is an adjacent road, and I see like cars driving sometimes over there. And during the weekend, I saw a couple of accidents where they just crashed into the wall of the building and entered the premise. So I just want to know, like, if there is going to be some kind of another divider that's going to come between my property and the road. So that's more of an information. I don't know anything about it, but I just want to find out, like, what exactly will be between the road and my property.
Could you put a map up again, Demir, just so that we're clear what property he's talking about? Do you have the ability to turn on the marking on the screen?
His lot is the second lot in from Bexstead on the north side.
Yeah.
1623.
Thank you. Okay, thank you.
That's pretty much it. I don't have any questions. No concerns, just wanted to get some information.
Certainly. Is there anyone else in the auditorium who's joined us this evening that would like to speak to this item? Okay, we'll go to our online. It looks like Mr. Gardner would like to address the commission. We just ask that you please turn on your camera, unmute yourself, and then state your name and where you reside for our records.
Hi, I'm Benyon Gardner. I live at 4922 West Fishhook Road, South Jordan, Utah. I just had two comments. One, I think it's great that we're getting more housing in our community, which is desperately needed. I have a house, which I am glad, because anybody who doesn't own a house, who hasn't bought one in the last year, it's a tough thing to try and get housing right now. I feel bad for, I have siblings who, you know, are younger than me, who haven't gotten to the point where they were able to buy a house yet. And I'm not sure if they're ever going to be able to. So adding more housing is great. We need that in the community. The other point that I wanted to make that I think helps address some of the concerns we've heard is when I looked at the site plan, I saw very little design for pedestrians, for anything but cars. There's a little bit of a sidewalk, but really not much. In fact, to me, it looks like really unsafe. There's no sidewalk coming from Redwood Road into all these homes. You know, you're going to add several homes, which is good. Not everybody in these homes is going to be driving a car. Some of them will want to get out on foot. I know Redwood Road is not the greatest for pedestrian access. But yeah, I wish that there was a little bit more thought and more added to the design to keep pedestrians away, you know, safe and separated from cars and able to access the homes that are there. And then my other thought going along with that was, you know, with Bexstead, with concerns over speeding and traffic and parking on Bexstead, that perhaps that's a road that could use a road diet and benefit from a protected bike lane on one side. Again, would provide people with options for transportation that did not involve cars and also eliminate some of those parking issues. And narrowing the road would also slow cars down. So those are my comments and appreciate everybody's time. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Gardner. I do not see anybody else online. Final opportunity for those in our auditorium to address the commission during public comment. If you've already spoken, then the rules that we follow don't actually allow you to comment again. Unless, commission, do we feel like an amendment to our rules this evening? If new information is being presented?
And I made that motion before, and when we've done it, the new information is not presented. It's just a rehashing of what's already been presented to us. So I'm not going to make that motion because I've been burned before in the past.
Commissioners, a motion?
My only feedback before we consider that is a lot of what we heard, I think, is more around the site plan.
That is true.
Versus the fit to the general plan and overall benefit to the city while considering surrounding effects. So if it's new information in that context,
that's the reason,
then I would be...
You can make your motion as such.
Maybe, yeah.
I will do that for Commissioner Catmull.
Go for it. Based on that.
I would like to propose that we allow additional citizen comments during public comments that are specifically related to the rezone application before this evening and also of any new information that has not previously been presented.
You want to put a time limit?
And limit that to no more than 1 minute. That will allow people to have a maximum of 4 minutes from their initial.
Okay, we have a motion. Are we comfortable with that?
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay. Any opposed? All right, so we will allow those who have commented already an additional minute if they have new information related to the rezone application. Ms. Williams, would you, under this proposal, like to take an additional minute? You'll have to be at the microphone just so that our records capture anything that's said.
All I'm concerned about...
Will you come all the way? I'm sorry, otherwise it doesn't get recorded.
All I'm concerned about is why we're not staying within that 35-foot restriction. I don't understand why they're allowed to go 39 feet.
Okay. Is there any other new information related to the rezone that would anybody in our auditorium would like to present? Okay. I'm going to close public comment. We're going to start by going through the issues that were brought up during public comment to try and get those answered and ironed out. The first is related to transportation and parking on Bexstead. I don't disagree with residents that townhomes are often very complicated in this regard. Demir, will you please go over the parking that's required, the parking that's been provided so far in the site plan that we can anticipate would be a part of that agreement with the city.
So if we can switch back, yeah. So what the city code requires is for every two-bedroom apartment, the city code requires two parking spaces. For three bedrooms or more, the city code requires 2.5 parking spaces. So based on this tabulation, it's on the side of the site plan that you're seeing in front of you. The applicant is providing enough parking. Granted that they're accounting driveway space into their parking calculations. So the garage itself, I was not at the work session with City Council, but the garage doors are your standard 16-foot doors from what I read from the minutes. So they have standard 16-foot doors, and then the garage itself is 21 by 21 from what I could read from the minutes. If that's the garage space that they're providing, that should be big enough to accommodate two cars inside the garage. But that's just based on the minutes from what I read at the City Council. But between the driveways and the garage space, they're providing more than the city code requires.
So my reading of the staff report was between garages and driveways, there's 84 spots because there's 21 units.
That seems a bit too high. It's not 80. I think it was 60.
Demir, their original thing said that there were 84, but the applicant is saying that they have 62.
Okay, yeah.
So, if that helps.
I thought it was in the 60s, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Are there any visitor spots? Is that what these six to the west of the townhomes are?
Or are those for the businesses? No guest parking. Those six stalls are meant or reserved for commercial uses along Redwood. As far as guest spaces go, the intent is to have them park in the driveways.
Okay. So the 24 parking stalls shown here are exclusively for the two businesses?
Right.
Okay.
I don't quite know how to phrase this, Madam Chair, if I could have just a second. Mm-hmm. It may be beneficial to for the public and for us to talk about the steps. So tonight we're talking about a rezone.
Mm-hmm.
The development agreement hasn't been approved officially by the city. So that will happen in a future city council meeting where you could talk to them about that.
And that will also have a public hearing like this.
Yep. And many of these questions, while super critical and important, are regarding the actual site plan, which we're not approving tonight. We would just be rezoning. So I don't have a problem discussing these things, but it is potential that we could get a development agreement and then the site plan could be different than what we're talking about tonight.
Which is definitely something we should discuss as well.
Do we know when this is going to City Council?
Yes, I believe it's scheduled for, pull this up, it's the first meeting in June, so whatever that lands on.
And anyone who received a notice prior to this meeting will also receive a notice prior to that meeting, correct?
No, it's been combined into one notice.
Okay, so it is one notice.
Both the Planning Commission and City Council is listed on the same notice.
Okay. Okay.
And on that City Council item, it will cover both the development agreement and the rezone.
Right.
Madam Chair, Greg Simonson has something, I believe. Is that correct? Mr. Simonson, did you have something?
Yeah, I wanted to clarify something on the procedure because I always get concerned when citizens think that they've been cut out of the process because there's already been decisions made. And this can arise when there's a work meeting. And typically in the process, a developer will go to first to the planning staff, and then they'll attend the developer may attend a work meeting. And a work meeting is a meeting in which no decisions are made. And usually the developer will present what they're hoping to do. And those things, those meetings are noticed. They're placed on the website, and they're all followed. So what I'm saying here is that nothing has been decided. The other thing that you need to be aware of is, I mean, you can go online and read your staff report. Many of your questions are answered in the staff report, and it's all available to be read. And, for example, on page 3 of this staff report, it talks about the development agreement. And what may be a little bit confusing, too, is that the rezone they're asking for is a PD zone. So the first, if you go in and you read about what's allowed in a PD zone, the very first paragraph you're going to read is that the PD zone is designed to help the city and the developer and hopefully all the public be able to achieve flexibility that would not otherwise be available in just a straight rezone. So, for instance, a zone may say the tallest the building can be is 36 feet. But in the PD zone, there's flexibility, and it's decided how tall the building is going to be. And so you need to go to this meeting, and you need to go to the city council meeting if you're concerned about that height, going from 36 to 39 feet, and you need to be participating in that process and expressing your concerns about it, because that's the whole idea behind the PD zone. Also, I wouldn't be concerned about the fact that there is a development agreement in the works. Mr. Drozdick and myself have been working on that agreement over the last week, and we're not the decision makers. We're just putting things down on paper at this point, and there's going to be a lot of input that comes in over time on some of those things. And so as soon as there is a proposed development agreement, that's going to show up in the noticing for the rezone when it goes to the legislative body. This body only recommends. The actual rezone is decided by the city council, and they haven't weighed in on this at all yet. So I want to give you some reassurance that we're not all going behind the citizens' back to try and final decisions have absolutely not been made. And I'm sorry to go on for so long, but there's one other thing I'd like to make everybody aware of, and that is there's no parking allowed on Beckstead Lane. Can somebody come and park illegally? I suppose they can. If that happens, I hope they'll get a ticket. Our city's pretty vigilant about things like that, but it's not like there's parking spots designated on Beckstead Lane.
Thank you, Mr. Simonson. Go ahead.
And maybe just adding to that, if you call the city and you have an issue, I believe you can call the city and they can and have demonstrated to respond to those concerns. So if you're having a chronic issue, you can call the city on those and usually get some action.
I usually call Jeremy, just so everybody knows.
Okay. Do you want to give out Chief Carr's email on the record?
I have one more question on the parking thing real quick, though.
Yeah.
You said that the spots that are designated for the commercial, is it just standard business operating hours and those spots would potentially be used after hours by residents, or is there non-standard hours on those commercial buildings?
They should be standard business hours. It's an HVAC business, and I imagine they wouldn't be running past.
There's nothing prohibiting residents from using those after hours, I'm assuming.
I don't think it's going to be enforced parking. Okay. Yeah.
So Commissioner Darby is correct that tonight all we're in really hearing is a rezone. However, we do have reference to some general guidelines that the development agreement will follow, and it does reference that this is what it will be built towards. So I am going to proceed through the rest of the concerns that the community has brought up, even though those are details that we would dive into at a future hearing. So I'll just voice this now so that I don't forget this concern later. I do have concerns with no official designated visitor spots. The reality is for developments like this, parking is an issue. It just is. I know that they've got two garage spots, and I know you included in your staff report that they would still meet the parking requirement if one car parked in the garage only and not two. We often see that garages aren't used at all. So I just wanted to state that for the record. There was a comment about renting out individual rooms, and this actually came up in our last hearing on a development like this. Could you, because you'll state it better than me, please state what our ordinances are in South Jordan about renting out individual rooms? Or maybe that's this, Greg.
So basically, you can rent out your house or your townhome to a family, and that's defined by city code what constitutes a family. So it's either people related by blood or up to four unrelated individuals. So as long as you stay within those parameters, you should not be in violation of the city code.
So these are
this is the same for a single family home or a townhome or any living housing option.
Okay. And are all of these two-bedroom apartments or are some three?
Three.
They're all three. Yeah. Okay.
I think there's one that's a two-bedroom.
Yeah, I just want to clarify. Right? They're not apartments. They're townhomes, correct?
I'm sorry.
I just want to make sure because that just leaves that apartments are rentals and townhomes are for sale. So I just want to make sure we clarify that for the public.
Thank you.
Or is it apartments? Just it is.
No,
townhomes.
It is for owners.
They're townhomes
to
for sale.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, townhomes can be rented also, though. I mean, there's a lot of for rent townhomes in South Jordan, but they're not considered apartments.
And following up on the previous question about family, do the same family code apply to those townhomes that are for rent?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
All right, Jeremy, our next question is for you, storm drainage. Could you please just review what will be required when the site plan finally comes forward, the fact that will be reviewed, it will be a part of what goes in, that the runoff from that property will be their responsibility?
Yeah, they'll be required to submit storm drain calculations to ensure that they can accommodate the required storm runoff, and they'll be required to retain the 80th percentile storm. So all of that will be included in their site plan.
Okay. What happens if you're above the 80th percentile storm and you are having runoff that goes and floods a neighboring property?
The retention of the 80th percentile is more to try and recharge the aquifer. It's more like a water conservation measure. They still need to provide accommodations for the 10-year and the 100-year storm are the two storms we look at for like the total runoff. The 80th percentile is more of a water conservation.
Okay. We've heard it stated that you cannot park on Beckstead. I actually didn't know that, and I drive on Beckstead sometimes. Can you tell me if that's signage or if it's a red curb? You'd think I would know since I do drive there.
And I
don't park there.
I was looking at that as well. Currently, you can legally park on Beckstead Lane. However, if it ever was a traffic safety issue, it could be marked as no parking. Beckstead and Greg, correct me if I'm wrong here, but Beckstead Lane is a very wide road. It's 42 feet of asphalt. There's enough width for cars for parking on both sides. From strictly a traffic engineering perspective, it would slow the cars down if we were to allow a little bit of parking on that road and put a little bit more life on it.
Jeremy, can I ask a follow-up question? If there's a car on a city street that seems to be abandoned, is there a time limit that it has before it needs to move?
48 hours.
And so if it hasn't moved in 48 hours, we could call the city and they could investigate and perhaps tow it for us.
Yeah. They come and
yeah,
work
you
it.
Can, okay. You can, yeah, and that's a good thing to do.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that so all, if there's a trailer or an RV parked for an excessive period of time, I would call the city.
Yes.
And just say, hey, there's an RV parked here and it doesn't seem to belong.
And they can call the city, or there's an online form you can submit. And I've done that at my house. I live in South Jordan and I've had some broken down cars parked on the side of my house.
Thank you.
And then while we've got you on the spot, Demir, will you put the map back up? We had a question about the divisions, the fencing, et cetera. Could you please tell us what type of wall or fencing is going to go up along between that private road and the homes to the north? I believe it was in the staff report.
So I think there's an existing masonry, decorative masonry wall, and that's proposed to remain.
Okay.
So that's going to serve as a safety barrier between the road and the homes to the north.
Okay.
So given some extra buffer.
Okay. There was a comment about speed on Beckstead. Again, Jeremy, I think that's one for you. What can be done if citizens are concerned about the speed on their road?
They're always welcome to contact me. We are trying to slow the speeds down on Beckstead Lane. Part of it is projects like this will help. Adding congestion to a road slows the speeds. Another thing we're trying to do is we're going to be striping, we're going to be doing some striping to narrow the lanes a little bit to try and make the drivers feel a little bit less comfortable traveling at a fast speed. Those are a couple of things. And then a couple of years ago, we put up radar feedback signs to also try and alert the drivers, make sure that they're checking their speed.
Is this a road where they're considering a bike lane?
No bike lanes at this time, but with the striped shoulders, there would be plenty of width for cyclists.
Okay. Again, I know that this is not a site plan meeting. It's probably you, Demir. Can you comment on what type of sidewalks would be required in a development like this?
Well, so they are showing sidewalks on Redwood and Beckstead. Those are public improvements. But within the project itself, since they're private drives, they don't necessarily have to have any sidewalks. And as a matter of fact, in some of those projects that I'm aware of back in Europe where you have these type of developments, there's no sidewalks. So pedestrians and cars actually share the same space. And actually, they have a name for it in Holland, but I can't think.
Right. I have one thought on that. Just as we bring these mixed-use developments in, one of the selling points supposedly is being able to work and live and play in the same area, and I would think that that should be a feature, that pedestrian walkability. If this is the point of and the benefit of a mixed use is being able to do those mixed uses and access them without your car.
And I agree with you. It is something you can put in your motion to recommend for city council to add more sidewalk to the project. I'm just not sure how many people are going to be working in those two commercial buildings because they're mostly warehouse buildings.
All right. I think the last comment was from Mr. Gardner about the need for housing. I don't disagree. I think that's why the city council has voiced the willingness to go up to 8 units per acre to try and meet that need while still maintaining some of the openness of South Jordan. But I do have a question about the calculation. It looks like the entire parcel is 2.5 acres, including the businesses at the front. I'm getting that works out to be 8.4. And I know that that's now in the decimals, but do I understand correctly that that is taking into account the entire area of that parcel, including the businesses?
Yes.
And then only looking at the density of the townhomes and excluding the business structures?
That is correct. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So the entire property, I think, is 1.5 acres.
Where the townhomes are?
No, the entire project is 1.5 acres, I think.
It's no, it's got to be 2.5.
Is it 2.5?
It's got to be 2.5.
I got the 8.4 using a 2.5.
Okay.
It does say approximately 2.5 acres. In
okay.
Right. Well, and if okay. that corner is 1/2 acre.
Yeah. So I was able to do a quick calculation. You asked me about the townhomes
yes.
to the north. The entire subdivision, which includes commercial area to the north of the townhomes, density comes out to over 9 units to the acre. The townhome portion itself comes out to over 20 units to the acre.
Okay. Commissioners, did I hit all of the main points that came out during public comment? Okay. Then I think we're ready as a commission to ask any additional questions and have our discussion. Let's start down with you, Ms. Bevins.
Okay, so on the site plan, it does look like, am I wrong? It does look like they do have some sidewalk.
Yeah,
on the south end of the private road?
Yeah, there's a...
But that's the only one in the actual project?
Right.
Okay.
Right. That's the only place, yeah.
Okay. And do we know the distance between the road and the fence on that north side? It does not look like there is much of a distance at all. Are we right up against the fence on that road?
I'm guessing the fence is adjacent to the curb, yes.
Okay. Yeah. And what are the lighting requirements on a street like that?
So one of the requirements is, again, it would be probably part of the site plan or subdivision, would be for them to submit a lighting plan. And in this plan, they would have to show that they're illuminating areas that, you know, where the parking areas are, just to make sure that the project itself is lit and safe for people to walk around.
Okay. And then during that process, it would be taken into account how close the houses behind that fence are to that lighting, correct?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
I think
it's in the city code that, where it says that you cannot have any glare from onto the adjacent properties from your lighting.
Okay.
So that's something that the city code requires. So it would have to be shielded. The lights would have to be shielded to prevent that.
Okay.
I just wanted to express gratitude to the public for being here and expressing these concerns, and just rest assured that this is the first meeting that you would be noticed for, because this is the very first step that they take. It is a decision to rezone or not rezone, and then from there they would have an agreement put in place, and then from there there would be a site plan put in place, and there will be opportunities for you to have conversations with both us and the city council at most of these steps. So you haven't missed out on anything yet. And I just wanted to let you know that I share your concerns about parking specifically and speed on roads. I don't think that the developer in any case would have any control over people speeding on that road. So it's probably not on their shoulders, but parking could be an issue, and we will make sure that they have the appropriate number of parking spaces according to the city code.
Can I interject something on parking, partly because I need some clarification? I'm just going to read to you from the draft that we have on the development agreement so far what it says on parking. And again, nobody's agreed to this yet. I don't even think we've given it to the developer yet. So, the developer shall provide garage, driveway, and guest parking stalls for the project as set forth in the concept plan and shall otherwise comply with all city requirements. Now, this drawing we have here, I think, is the concept plan, and I had understood, and this is where I would like to get clarification, that 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, and 20 are...
So that's parking reserved for businesses. At some time there was some discussion whether to have that parking be a shared parking between residents and the businesses. I don't think. I mean, maybe hours could be limited, as you know, one of you has mentioned before. So maybe after business hours, that can be used as guest parking, and maybe that's something that can be built into the agreement.
I have one additional question. Is there any restriction on the percentage of the lot that can be covered in a zone like this, or is that not applicable here like it is in residential zones?
There isn't.
Okay.
And maybe that's something that the applicant can address, parking issues and guest parking, if they're open to that idea, sharing that one parking row with between residents and the businesses.
Commissioners, do we have questions for the applicant? Do we want to bring him up? I think with what we have in front of us tonight, voting on a rezone, I don't know if that level of detail is appropriate.
But I think they're here presently tonight, and there's a few weeks before the first meeting in June with council with the development agreement. So hopefully they can incorporate the citizen concerns and what we've raised as well. I mean, I think brought up on the road of being a private road, it's going to be a Beckstead and Redwood cut through. So, I don't know if you can have this in the development agreement, but something maybe to consider would be some sort of traffic mitigation, so speed bumps or definitely signage, but what else can be done to slow that down as a direct cut through, along with the parking? So there might be other things they can do here if the parking shared access, but also ways to slow down the traffic here on this private road.
Demir, can you go to one of the zoomed out that just shows kind of the land use for a larger area? Thank you. So I feel like, well, there's at least the one official connection
up by the CC at top,
right? That's by the fields. I feel like there's another one down by the bank, or is that the bank?
That's not the bank. That's not the bank. Studio.
I feel like there's a couple that exist, and I personally wouldn't cut through a parking lot when I've got official roads every so often.
It's to the north.
Okay.
One other connection you were referring to.
Sorry, commissioners, may I chime in for a second? Yeah, that access to the north, it's also a signalized intersection. As I was, intersection onto Redwood Road, that is. As I was looking at this, I wasn't overly concerned about the cut through just because, this is why we try to do connections. You try to do multiple connections so that none of them get super concentrated, you know? And in this case, that's what I was seeing, is that there were enough connections that I didn't see this there being a strong drive for a cut through. With that said, you can always add speed bumps and those kind of things later. Also, this road does have two pretty significant horizontal curves, and it's fairly narrow, and there's likely going to be quite a bit of on-street parking. And so I didn't, for those reasons, I didn't see a significant concern for speeds.
You think there will be on-street parking on that private road?
With the width that they have, they could. If it was a public road, we would allow on-street parking on one side of the road, yes, because you would still have adequate clearance on, for two cars to get by. It's a 26 feet of asphalt, which is what daybreak roads are, and we do parking on both sides of the road on a lot of those streets. So.
All right, commissioners, do we have questions answered? Are we ready to voice any concerns or have discussion? I'm happy to start at either end. We sort of started with you. Do you want to?
Sure. So I, like Chair Hollis said, I also share the concern about no guest parking. But I want everyone to know that our city council members do listen to our recording, so they are going to hear what your concerns are as well as our concerns are, and they do take these things into account before they go through with it. I think most of my concerns are more site plan and development type stuff, not necessarily the rezone. I don't have any issue with recommending a positive recommendation to the city council for the rezone.
I'm in the same position.
I'll jump in and let Steve collect his thoughts for a second, but just on the rezone, I think I'm fine with it. Just while they'll be considering the development agreement at the same time, based on this recommendation, maybe the height of the buildings in this floating zone. That's been, I don't know if it's a concern because some neighboring homes may be actually higher. And of course, the density would be, I guess, the one concern with the rezone, but it looks like, Mayor did some quick numbers and to the neighboring properties in the north actually exceeds what's being proposed here. Being in kind of an infill, this is kind of a good fit. And with the flexibility, as Mr. Simonson shared with us, of what this zone is, I would be in favor of forwarding a positive recommendation.
Yeah, when I think about Redwood Road, you look at the size of this as an acre and a half. Having this zone that we're trying to apply allows that kind of mixed use that we wouldn't easily get if we tried to split this and put something in Redwood Road and then something on the backside of Beckstead very easily anyway, like residential homes or whatever, and still have good buffering. So the flexibility it provides, I think, from a fit that way does feel good to me. I do share the concerns around pedestrian and the access between on that private road. Mostly, I just think more and more people are gonna. We're gonna eventually, in the decades to come, we'll be having more autonomous cars dropping people off at various places, and perhaps more pedestrian walking and so forth. So we want to make sure it's safe and accessible. I also share the concern about guest parking and the light proximity to the houses on the north and making sure, but I don't think any of that's non-addressable. I just wanted to maybe include that in our motion, one or some of those in the motion for the city council to make sure that they review and address more, if others agree. It sounds like we're in agreement on a lot of those.
Okay, so I'll voice my concerns. I know this is a rezone, but I think I'm actually leaning against it simply because we're playing some density games and we're going for a mixed use, which I understand the purpose, but I'm a little bit concerned that this mixed use isn't addressing that walkability, that pedestrian portion, and it's also not recognizing the parking reality. And I know that we can't require more than our ordinances say that we have to for a townhome. But I think that when we then allow this density, especially when it's concentrated on a small portion of the total acreage, that we're probably creating this problem that wouldn't be a problem if there were more street parking, which would occur with less density, at least in the section where the housing is. So having seen the site plan and knowing that this is just a rezone, but knowing what the intent is to put all of those homes in a small portion of the property, I think I'm opposed. And so my issues are that the actual residences are significantly more dense in the portion that they're built on, and that I anticipate parking problems with that, that there is no guest parking, that there seems to be a lack of walkability, which is supposed to be one of the primary selling points on a mixed use. I also have concerns with that wall being right up against the private lane that, in theory, can work, but people need a little bit of buffer and shoulder. It just happens. As you're making a turn, you're not always paying attention the way that you should, and I think that that might ultimately have some issues. And then I know that on public roads, we're allowed to park on them, and that is allowed on a public road, and I'm okay with that, especially in periods where there's, like, special events and whatnot, but when it's regular, it's harder to drive on. I like the more open fill and having less street parking personally. I know that you've referenced Daybreak. I know what they do out in Daybreak. That's one of the things we hear the most complaints about, however, when citizens come to these forums, is that on-street parking, while allowed, doesn't seem to be very desirable to a lot of our residents. So those are my thoughts on this particular application. Are there any other discussions or items to discuss?
Madam Chair, just one maybe on that is, I'm looking at the recommended language for action. Mm-hmm. It seems like whenever we do a rezone, it's often the language is that we approve the rezone. This says approve an ordinance number. Is there anything that's
different there than I'm remembering, or maybe I'm just remembering too far back. Is there anything specific about approving an ordinance number versus approving a rezone that we need to be aware of?
Actually, you're not really approving, you're recommending approval of that ordinance that will, the ordinance itself is what approves the rezone. So I think it's been fairly common recently, for quite a few years, that you approve an ordinance number. Okay. For a rezone, and if it happens to be a land use amendment, you approve a resolution number for a land use. You'll recommend approval for the resolution number. Because the ordinance has a number, and then it's in its title, it probably says what it is. It's the rezoning of the property from this to that, and that's all in the title of the actual ordinance. So.
And then this zoning change requires a development agreement to be in place. Am I remembering right? Where it has to accompany?
Right. The city council, when they review it, there'll be two resolution numbers. Well, only one resolution number. They'll have one resolution number for the development agreement will be passed by resolution, and then the ordinance will pass would be the rezone if it gets passed. And it will, so that's how that would work.
So generally, if we don't support the underlying development agreement.
Actually, you're not making any recommendation on the development agreement, because you don't have that development agreement completely in front of you. So you're only making a recommendation on the rezone. The development agreement will affect the site plan and the subdivision, but it's not. When those come back to you, your responsibility then, if that comes back to you, you know, if the rezone gets approved and it comes back with the subdivision and site plan, then it'll be your charge then to make sure that what they're presenting at that meeting is in conformance with the development agreement that was approved by the city council.
And if we have feedback for our council members, we should do
you
that.
Definitely tell them, you know, the things that you would like to see addressed in the development agreement. That's definitely, you can add that. That's your comments will be okay. Passed. Yeah. Okay. Great.
Can they make that part of their motion too?
I would imagine you can put it in your motion that these things be addressed in the development agreement. But it's probably not if the council chooses not to, that doesn't mean they're going to, you know, turn around and deny the, you know, deny the rezone. But it's up to the council to choose what they want, how they want it. So, but I think it is important that you do, that they hear what you want to see in that development agreement, or if there's certain things like you've already mentioned, the height of the buildings, parking, and so forth. If you think that development agreement can be, you know, it's an agreement between both parties, and if they both parties agree that, you know, some of that can change, it's actually establishing a new code, is what that does. The development agreement establishes a new code for our in the zoning ordinance. So.
Commissioners, anything further? I'm ready for a motion then.
Madam Chair, I'd like to make a motion, please.
Please.
Madam Chair, based on this evening's discussion, staff report, citizen comment, and our discussion, I move that we, the Planning Commission, recommend that the City Council approve Ordinance Number 2023-03-Z with the following recommendations in the creation of the development agreement between the developer and the city, that pedestrian access, including sidewalks, be addressed. Guest parking and overall parking of the unit, overall density, overall height of the residential buildings, and the placement of the drive along the north boundary of the property be addressed. Did I get one? Height of the buildings, yeah. Okay. Or the residential buildings. Do you want to be all buildings or just the residential? I'm okay, good with what I said.
All right, we have a motion. Is there any discussion on that motion?
after listening to your thoughts and going back through my notes, a lot of my concerns, I don't know that they can be quickly addressed in the way that this is drawn and may affect the way that this moves forward. So I think I'm also being swayed in the other direction.
Before I second the motion, I do want to point out that we are approving the use of, or the rezone to a mixed use, which I guess you referred to in your motion as presented with, please consider these options. But I just want to make that clear that mixed use is pretty open. We obviously have a city council that's responsible and answers to our public. They are elected. They will ultimately make that decision. I just wanted to put that out there. So if there's no objections, I'm going to second that motion.
And Madam Chair, before we vote, I'd like to just make one clarification of my motion based on your comment that the what maybe we should just reread what the entire application is, the that language of the start of the report, just that it is a rezone from A5 agricultural minimum 5-acre lot and R2-5 single family residential 2.5-acre lots per acre to R-M-PD, a residential multi-plan development floating zone zone, so which is mixed use, a mixed use development. So to clarify that, even though I do, it was very general, it's just the ordinance number, that's what that ordinance number fully encompasses.
So I'm willing to second that motion with the clarification. Ms. Valdez, can we get a roll call vote, please?
Commissioner Gedge?
Aye.
Commissioner Hollis?
No.
Commissioner Catmull?
Aye.
Commissioner Darby?
Yes.
And Commissioner Rubin?
No. Okay. This has been mentioned, but I do want it to be clear for the benefit of those who have joined us this evening. We are not the deciding body. This still has several more steps. So we will forward a positive recommendation to the city council for this rezone with a 3-2 vote. They will still hear this. They will have a public hearing on this same item. They will review the reasons that we voted the way that we did. They'll see that it's a split vote, and they will review our minutes and take that into consideration at that time. You are still welcome to go participate in that public comment, but ultimately, all we are is a recommending body. We have made no binding decision this evening. We are just a recommending body making a recommendation to city council. So we will forward that recommendation accordingly.
Madam Chair, just to follow up on that, that meeting will be June 6th, and you have already been noticed with that with a combined notice. So you will not be getting a secondary notice announcing that. So I just want to make sure clear, tell your neighbors to June 6th here in this building.
And you can certainly reach out to your city council member before that time. We would like to thank everybody, though, for coming this evening. We know that these meetings are long and a little bit tedious, but we do appreciate the feedback. I think having participation from the community as well as the developers makes this a better process. So with that, that concludes our legislative public hearings this evening.
Madam Chair, maybe one more thing. As the evidence that you bring to that hearing, your feelings and anything else that may affect it, the more detailed and the more professional that type of evidence is. So, for example, house valuations, if that's a concern for you, if you can get an appraisal or something like that, that's the type of evidence that's very persuasive. And so hopefully having almost a month time to prepare is good to have as well.
Thank you again for participating this evening, both to our applicant and to our public. Do we have other business this evening? We'll ask you our obligatory question about our next meeting, Greg. What's it looking like?
We've got three items on the agenda next time. They're all three of them are subdivision amendments. So, okay.
Are they in Daybreak?
One is in Daybreak. The other two are not.
All right. Okay. Commissioners. Any business? Okay. And it's the next meeting that you won't? No, it's
no,
June.
June.
Okay.
June.
Great. And I will reach out to Commissioner Starks to see what his schedule is, just so that moving forward we can make sure we've got a full commission every time. But just let me know as soon as you know if you can't make a meeting. All right. Then I think with that, I'm ready to adjourn. So I'll move that we adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Aye. All right. Thank you.